morning for all that you're doing at Calvary Chapel. And Lord God, we do pray over all of those that are so ill, Lord, the horrible viruses and the flu. And we pray over Tarrant County, Lord, just that it would be rid of any influenza, any flu at all. And Lord, that bring healing to us. We thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven, as you have declared, are open over this fellowship called Calvary Chapel. Lord, we just pray for our brother Andy Calderon, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, let the angels of God surround him, establish each and every step. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful for men and women that serve our nation, serve our country, protect our freedoms. Lord, bless him all the days of his life and bless his family as well, Lord. Also, Jacob and Stephanie, Lord, leaving for Bible college in Peru, that you just cover them with your mercy, your goodness, and grace. Oh, Lord, use them mightily there in Peru and be with them in the mighty name of Jesus. And be with us now on this special day. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Listen, today is a special day. If you normally we're in the Gospel of John, but I'm not going to be there this morning. In this wonderful year that God has given us, 2018, and what an incredible promise the Lord has spoken to our hearts. Prove me now, or test me in this, saith the Lord, from Malachi 10. You know, in order to prove God, you have to obey the Lord. Amen. In other words, if the Lord says, you know, seek me early that you may find me when you seek me with your whole heart, well, loved one, if you're not seeking, you're not going to find. And that way, you're not going to be able to prove the promises of God. We've learned about our New Year's message that what this church in particular, a specific word for Calvary Chapel, what we do in 2018, I don't know how to define it, nor will I even try. But it is also for 2019 as well. And we know that God has opened up the windows of heaven for a specific and divine purpose in 2018. That's why God says, prove me now. You remember in Luke chapter 10, in verse 2, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, you know, the harvest is truly great. Not just great, but incredibly great. And he said, but the laborers are few. Isn't that a sad word? The laborers in the harvest of our Lord, his harvest, Jesus said, are few. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, or more workers. And that is my prayer this morning for this fellowship called Calvary Chapel. It is harvest time. Say that with me. It is harvest time. Not tomorrow, right the day. And this is exactly, that's my prayer for this fellowship. Now, as I just said, we're going to be back in John next Sunday, the Lord willing. But turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. And we're going to look at this dinner invitation that Jesus was invited into the home of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. But it wasn't because they loved him. They actually wanted to trap him, if you will, because they were watching him so closely. But here, we want to look at this dinner in this Pharisee's home. We want to drop down to verse 12 this morning, and let's keep our hearts open in Jesus' name. Let me say something before I begin. You know, I know that in any time that we gather together, there are needs in our hearts, in our families, in our finances, or whatever it might be. This morning, may we just cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. Amen? And let's not think of ourselves right now, but let's be others-centered in our heart and in our thinking as we listen to what Jesus is speaking to this church this morning. So in verse 12, Jesus, it says here that he also said unto him who invited him. In other words, he spoke to the ruler of the house that he was in who invited him to dinner. And Jesus said unto him this, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, don't ask your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, four different people groups, if you will, lest they also invite you back and you be what? Repaid. Now, Jesus is certainly not saying not to have your buddies and your friends over for dinner, but he's talking about hospitality here to those who can repay, and that's not what he's inferring to this morning. But when you give a feast, now he moved from a dinner to a supper to a feast. I like that. Look what Jesus said to do. He said, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. In other words, invite those who can never, ever pay you back because of the condition that they are in. Loved one, listen to me now. There is coming this summer a very great feast. Amen. It's called Harvest America 2018. A very great, great feast. And we, Calvary Chapel, we must be ready starting this moment to start inviting and bringing and who we're going to be bringing to that great event. And as we do, look at the promise. And Jesus said, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you, for you shall be repaid, meaning you'll be by the Lord. It tells us when, at the resurrection of the just, so that future day at the Bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ. And now when one of those who sat at the table, the dinner table in that Pharisee's home with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread or dinner in the kingdom of God. So this gentleman who was at the table, he was so confident that he one day himself would be having that kingdom feast. But look at Jesus's how he responds, and he does so with a warning. And then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent his servant, we're God's servants, amen, sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make what? Excuses. Interesting. Now look at the first person. The first one said to Jesus, well, you know, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Now, would you say that's a good or a poor excuse? Poor excuse. This side doesn't know, but you did. God bless you. Okay? Yeah, I mean, who in the world is going to go buy a piece of property and check it out after they buy it, but they've never seen it? You know what I mean? Okay, well, I was just checking. I hope you don't do that. And it says, and another said, well, you know, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, so it'd be 10 oxen, if you will, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Well, you know as well as I do, especially if you've ever been out to the stock show, you're not going to go buy an animal that's never been untested, right? That's right. And it says, and still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I'm not even going to comment on that one. No word from me at all. Somebody said this morning, Bill, did you know that your lip is black right here? And I said, yes, it is. It's bruised. And I said, go ask my wife. Now, so these three, they had an invitation, if you will. They expected another invitation to this great dinner. But you know, if we read the whole story, we're going to find out, no, they're never going to be invited again. Now, look what Jesus says there in verse 21. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, all those who society overlooks and so forth. Bring those who can't afford to buy an oxen or those that can't maybe afford to have purchased property, if you will. Bring those who don't have any excuses at all. In other words, invite the lonely, the hurting, the downcast, the rejected, those that are just trying to make it through life. They don't have an answer. They're looking for an answer. And it, you know what? It says go quickly. What does that mean? It means that time is limited. Opportunity is brief. Loved one, right now, our opportunity is limited. Do you understand? Well, we don't, you know, people die every day because no one even took time to tell them about Jesus Christ, and they enter eternal hell every day in our city, every day in all parts of the world. So Jesus says, go quickly. And the servant said, Master, it's done as you commanded, but look what happened. There's still some room. There's a lot of room left. And the master said to the servant, well, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel, that word doesn't mean to force, it means to urge. Urge them to come in, and why is the reason? That my house may be what? Filled, that it may, my house may be full. Now listen to me. That, did you know that is an invitation from Jesus to every person that is lost in all of the world? Amen? He says, oh, listen, I want my house to be filled. However, someone has to go, someone has to urge, and someone has to bring, and that happens to be the servants of God. You see, in order to prove God now, if we don't go, we can't prove him. But when we do go, when we just step out, God does all the rest. It's harvest time, amen? All right. And for I say to you that none of these men, meaning those people that gave all those excuses now, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my supper. And now great multitudes went with him. So Jesus is leaving the house. He's finished talking to them, and he's going to Jerusalem, of course, we know, to die for the sins of the world. And then he turned, though, and he said to them, now listen to what Jesus is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to give an invitation that's going to thin out the crowd, okay? He's going to talk to us right now about what a true believer, what a true disciple, what a true follower is. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, in other words, you want to come and you're saved, believing in me. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, or literally love less, his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, and his what? His own life also. Loved one, you need to underline this in your Bible. He cannot be my disciple. You know, the word disciple is used 264 times in the New Testament. We are a disciple, a follower of the Lord. So we know that when Jesus says right there to hate your mother or your father or wife and so forth, we know that's not what he means. Amen? You're a well-taught church. You know that Jesus would never, you know, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, hate your wives. No, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It would also be breaking of the fifth commandment about what honoring your mother and your father and all that. So that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you really want to be my disciple, then you know what? I have to be number one in your life. You have to love me more than anything else and anything else that you do. That's what Jesus is saying. I have to be the number one person preeminent in your heart. Now, if not, Jesus said, you're not really my disciple. You're not following me. You know, if more, you know, we'd have less divorce in the church today if the husband and the wife would make Jesus number one instead of making maybe the kids number one. You understand? Now, and whoever does not hear or bear his cross and come after me or follow me cannot be my disciple. You know, Jesus said, you follow me because I have a plan for your life. I'm going to show you things that you just could never, ever believe. And yes, of course, salvation is free. I'm not talking about safe salvation. I'm talking about after you're saved. Amen? You can't earn by, well, I'm following the Lord, now I've earned it. No, salvation is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God. It cannot be earned. It's by faith through grace alone. Now, but discipleship does mean doing something. Remember what Jesus told us over in Luke chapter 9, verse 23? He said, if anyone desires to come after me, here are the conditions. Number one, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, the word take up is a command. It's not an option. You know, Jesus is certainly, you know, saying, listen, if you're going to, like today, so many people, they want this no-cost discipleship. Well, that's not the way it is. Jesus doesn't give us an excuse. Jesus doesn't give us an option. He says, if you are born again, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to follow me. Amen? And I'm going to be your Lord. See, if we're not going the way of the cross, then we're going our own way in our own life. We're establishing our own steps and our own destiny. Now, Jesus said, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all we see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish, or what king is going to make war against another king? In other words, like against Satan himself. Does not sit down first, consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him, comes out against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So Jesus said, you know what? Yes, there is a cost to following me. And there is a cost to discipleship, amen? But you know what that cost involves? In other words, he could send us anywhere in the world. We could lay hands upon the sick and see them recover. We could see whole families come to Christ Jesus, amen? That's what he's talking about here. And he goes on and he says here, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? Does it mean that you're supposed to empty out no home, no car, you know, just put yourself in sackcloth and ashes and hold up a sign, turn or burn? You know what I mean? Is that what it means? No, this is not a vow of poverty. Remember when the rich young ruler came unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, listen, you know, just go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Now, that's not how you get eternal life. But he said, that's the thing holding you back. You love your possessions more than you love me. He says, and remember what happened? Peter went and said, hey, Lord, you know, listen, we've left everything and followed you. And he says, oh, Peter, you guys, listen. You know, whoever leaves fathers, sisters, mothers, homes, lands for my name's sake in this lifetime will be a hundredfold return. Amen. See, it's so easy to hear the requirement but then miss the promise that Jesus gives us in our life. So this is not some vow of poverty. And you know what? Christian America is in trouble right now. We must have a revival. Do you understand? It's not even an option, loved one. We must have a revival in our land. Christian America has turned discipleship into, well, I'm going to show up on Sunday. I'm going to park my car for 2 hours. I'm going to sit in a comfortable pew. I'm going to go home, and I'm a disciple. That is not what a disciple is or does. Amen? Question, what chances would it be any organization if only 20% of its members work? Like, let's say the Republican Party. And then the other 80% did not even participate, let's say the Democratic Party. You think anything is going to get done? Well, all we have to do is look at Washington and say, well, nothing's getting done. But let's leave them alone. We need to pray for them. But what about the church? You see what I'm getting at? See, there, you know, we must have all of us. Never think that being a disciple, participating, serving, following, winning the lost is optional. It's not. What Christ did in his earthly ministry before he ascended and seated at the right hand of God has now given unto the church the spiritual ministry to keep it up. Amen? That's what we're to do. Now look what Jesus says about all this. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, how are you going to make it salty again? So, you know, in Jesus' day, salt was, you know, a valuable product. Even Roman soldiers were being paid with it. But you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Man, what a word. You know who he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about us. You see, we are the salt of the earth. Salt always does something. You know, if you're making gravy and you put too much salt in it, what happens? You have to throw it out, you know, because it's too salty. You can't eat it. You know what I'm saying? Salt is powerful, loved one. Listen, that's how valuable you are. You are the salt of the earth. Salt always changes things. Salt always preserves things, if you will. It always permeates everything, but salt does something. It makes somebody thirsty. It makes you thirsty. You're the salt of the earth. God says, I need you to make those people out there that are going to hell, if they don't come to me, and I don't want them to go there, you're the salt. And you need to make other people thirsty for me because I have filled you with my giftings and filled you with the Holy Spirit of God. Salt can only do its job by coming in contact with substance. So it's like Jesus says, well, so what good is salt if it isn't salty? Let me put it this way. This is not what Jesus is saying, I know, but I'm saying it. What good is an unsalty Christian? Well, let Jesus answer that in verse 35. It is neither fit for the land, neither fit for the dunghill, but men just throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What did God say? God has no use for it. Man has no use for it. The world has no use for it. Why? Because of what it was created to do, it is failing to do. Do you know that the health of our city, the health of our state, the health of America depends upon salty Christians? Yes. Listen, Jesus again, he said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus didn't tell the church, he says, I want you to settle down, I want you to relax, I want you to take it easy. No, it is harvest time. Loved one, listen to me now. This purpose of me talking to you this morning is not to make you feel guilty. Really, when you think about it, isn't it amazing that God has to move upon us to get us to do things for him? Come on. Don't be religious. The first service, I know you're not religious like the second service. Isn't it amazing? Now the Lord said, you know, why aren't you telling other people about Jesus? Why aren't you bringing the lost to Calvary Chapel? Why aren't you begging them, urging them, pleading with them to be saved? You see, that's what Jesus wants us to do. You know, Jesus said that we are fishers of men. It's time to start fishing. Mark 1:17, Jesus told his disciples, he tells us as well, he said, follow me, come after me, travel with me. He says, and I will make, not you, I will make you fishers of men. Now listen to me, if you are not fishing, I promise you, you are not following. Do you understand? That's just the way it works. You know, how many people in the church today are like Jonah? Remember Jonah and the whale and all that? You know, what did Jonah do? God told him to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He boarded the ship to get out of town. He said, I'm not going there. He hated the Ninevites. He didn't, you know, and God just told him, said, no, Jonah, you've got to go there. And you know what? When he finally obeyed, he went into Nineveh and he preached there, remember? And he just spoke 8 words and that was it. He said in Jonah 3:4, he said this, Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That was a word from God. Either you're going to get right with God or you're not. And we know the story. Do you know there was about 1 million people there in Nineveh? And did you know from the least to the greatest, meaning the king, they all repented. They all got right with just 8 little words from God. 2018, God said, prove me now. And we can't prove God now unless we step out and obey what he's called us to do. You know, the windows of heaven has opened. Do you know how many people in America, and not just people like Franklin Graham and his sister and Greg Laurie and all the other great men of God that he's using across our nation, they're crying out, they're begging God to send revival to our country. We must have revival. Darkness is greater than it has ever been in our nation right now, greater than any time in my entire lifetime. You know, what if Harvest America, June 10th, you know that all about it. What if that event, that crusade, what if that is going to be the event that sparks a nationwide revival across our nation? Do you know that I'm praying for that? I'm believing for that. Listen, I think with all of my heart and know it is time for this fellowship and every fellowship. Go into the highways, go into the lanes, get into the hedges and invite those, bring those, urge those to come in that God's house might be full. Amen? That's what the Lord is wanting. But not just ATT Stadium, but Calvary Chapel as well. Both of us. Now listen, I'm not telling you anything you don't know this morning. But I want you to know and remind you that you are the answer to the needs of the lost in this city. You are. The Bible tells in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says that God has given unto us, not angels, not seraphims, but to us, the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, where we go and we put the lost person's hand in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus says, I'll take you to the Father. Amen? We have that ministry right this minute. Every believer has that. And not only that, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says God has committed or entrusted unto us or placed into our hands the word of reconciliation on how to be reconciled unto God. See, Romans 1:16, for it says that, you know what, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So how in the world is the world in our city, in your neighborhood, in the schools and the colleges, your relatives that are lost, whatever, how are they going to hear? You. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, for now we are, not used to be, we are this moment ambassadors for Christ. We are his sent people, loved one. We have a message from Almighty God. He sent his son who loves you. He died for you. He wants to save him. Amen? We have that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, we're workers together with God. Think about that. We're co-laborers with the Lord. Remember there in Matthew 28:18-20, which we call the Great Commission? You know, when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, go therefore into all the nations and so forth. Listen, and it tells us that the Lord was with them. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. See, the Lord works with us in all that we do. Read Mark chapter 16, verse 20, about the Great Commission there and all the people who believed and were baptized. And you know what they did? They went out, signs and wonders, things that were happening, preaching and saving people. And it says in verse 20 of Mark 16 that the Lord was working with them, confirming through signs. See, when we go out and we just tell anyone simply about the love of God, that Jesus, boy, the Lord is right there working with us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, listen, it says, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. Can you believe that? I mean, God could use anyone, but he uses us. You don't have to have a Bible college degree or a seminary degree. All you have to say is, you know what? Jesus changed my life. He'll change your life. Oh, tell them your testimony. That's all that it takes. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that, you know, when we were, Jesus said the last thing he told us, he said, listen, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, listen. We are the people that God wants to use. Now, listen very carefully to me. It's harvest time. God says, you know what? You go, you bring, and I will do the rest. See, we have work that we need to do. You know, June the 10th, 2018, AT&T Stadium, you know where it's at? It's the home of the losing Dallas Cowboys. Now listen, do you remember? You know, I know many of you were there serving. I was there 2016. Becky and I were there. And a lot, many, many of you were there serving at 2016 Harvest. And you remember, I mean, over 82,000 people in attendance. I mean, it was unbelievable. The music was so loud, I had to put earplugs in. And now I can't hear out of this ear. 82,000 people and 20,000 standing outside that could not get in. We're watching the big screens. Do you know, loved one, that over 25,000 people on that night across America who were tuning in live and who were meeting in churches who couldn't be at AT&T Stadium, did you know that 25,000 people in America made a profession of Jesus Christ on that night? And if you were there, as we were there, and you looked at the football field, was it covered with people who came to Christ? Yes. Listen to me. We must work right now. We have a job to do. You remember that I told you that in November, when the Lord started moving in my heart and gave me Malachi 3:10, but specifically, not about tithes, that's part of it, but that's not the theme of Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10 is about the faithfulness of God. You understand? Prove me now, God. That word, that's only place he says that in the Bible. Test me. See if I'm not worthy. Obey what I'm asking you to do, and I'll prove myself to you. What a word. the word that he's given us, the word that God has opened up the heavens. If you didn't hear the New Year's message, you need to go get both of them and hear them right now, or not this moment. No, listen. So in November, even though I was still unsure of the word that God had given unto me, loved one, listen, it was in November there in my office, Mark Aranis and all the Harvest Crusade team, as we came in, as they met with me like they did in 2016, they met here in 2018 with me. We had a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship together and prayer together. And we were discussing, of course, June 10th, 2018 at AT&T Stadium with Greg Laurie. I'm so privileged and honored that they asked me to be upon their advisory board. I couldn't believe that. I'm such a poor advisor, you know, with all those big guys. I mean, you know, Jack Graham and, you know, Robert Jeffress, First Baptist. And who's that guy? What's his name at Gateway? I don't even want to put a name tag on. I mean, you know, oh, listen, what an honor. And it was in that meeting in November in my office. And it was a long meeting. It's a great meeting. And I looked at Mark and I said, hey, Mark, listen, do you know what happened in 2016 at that meeting? Well, yeah, Billy, it was all these people. I said, no. And then I told him a story. And he said, you got to be kidding. I said, no. And he said, Bill, we've got to do something. He said, we have to put together what you're telling me right now. We've got to make a video. We've got to do something. Let me get with Greg, and I've got to talk to him about what you just told me. Well, all that being said, we're going to dim the lights for a minute, and you're going to see right now the official promotion video for Harvest America 2018 that's going to be shown not only across America, but around the world. Watch very carefully.
I was in the military as in the Air Force. I retired from the Air Force in 2004. We moved into Fort Worth. My daughter, she was a beautiful child, vibrant. She would testify in our neighborhood, bring kids to church, and she was just completely in love with the Lord. At the age of 12, though, things changed. We saw behavior changes, and we didn't know what was going on. We thought it was teenage stuff. Then one day, she tried to jump out of a truck and kill herself. And that was our first trip to a mental hospital because we couldn't keep her safe. Didn't know what to do. She began cutting herself and all sorts of things. Well, that's when we sort of found out she was raped. And she didn't tell us for a year. We were staggered. We didn't know what to do. We prayed. Rape counseling, trauma counselors. But she was angry with the Lord. She was seeking her own kind of peace, I guess. And she sought, in spite of all the counseling and prayer, she chased after things of the world. She began getting involved with drugs and alcohol. But we continued praying for her and taking her counselings. But then, about a year later, her very best friend committed suicide. That sent my daughter deeper into more depression. And this went on for 5 years of her leading a very high-risk lifestyle. She didn't care if she lived or died. It was 5 years of agony. And it got to a point where I thought she was at a point of no return. Not that God wasn't able, but that she didn't want it. We were staying involved in church. Harvest America was coming to Dallas. My pastor, Bill, asked me if I'd like to be involved and help with that. I was really grateful, thankful for that, because of the fact that I rededicated my life to Christ. It was at Greg Laurie's church. So to be asked to help with the Harvest in Dallas, I was excited. During the crusade, we brought my daughter. She was a little reluctant to go, but we brought her anyway. At the end of the Harvest, after confessions of faith were made, my job really at the time was to provide Bibles to those who were giving their lives to Christ. There were people down there leading people in prayer. And so I was making sure they were supplied with Bibles and doing a lot of running around. And then afterwards, when that was over, I saw an opportunity to help collect the boxes that were all around the field of decision cards that were left there by people. And we bring them to a sorting room. And this room was enormous. It was huge. There was tables everywhere. And boxes and cards were getting dropped off, and people were sorting them by zip code so they can contact the people who made decisions for Christ. As I was leaving one time, I walked by the table, and I just happened to look down. And right as I did, a card turned over. It had my daughter's name on it. I just stopped because God told me then that He had her. I was staggered because even in that time when I'm just busy and working, God spoke to me. And I was just amazed. And you know, God did have her. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of Pastor Greg. I know he is used by God in a mighty way. And I'm just so grateful that he would step out and continually do what he does. People are restored or they're brought back to the Lord. She's restored to the Lord Jesus Christ. She loves the Lord. She seeks to walk righteously. All the relationships in our family have been restored. She had hopes and dreams of a future. It's been a long road, but it's amazing how God is always there. If you're a Christian and you have lost family members, it's painful. If you're a Christian and you have wounded family members who have left the Lord, it's painful. But I just want to encourage you, keep praying for them. When the opportunity comes to bring them to a crusade, please bring them. My daughter's a testimony. It was 5 hard years, but now it's all new again. And I know if you're out there and you're struggling, the Lord sees you. The Lord loves you. Bring them to the crusades and let the Lord speak to their hearts.
God is faithful, and he's an amazing God. You know, this year, Pastor Bill, you know, it's amazing how the Lord gives him a word every year for our church, and this year it's Prove Me Now, and last year it was, you know, fervent prayer, and you always see God answer those, confirm that word, because it was, I mean, just yesterday, after prayer, we always pray for others and nations and whatever, but at the end we pray for each other. But yesterday there weren't any prayer requests. It was a praise report, a praise report, a praise report. I just looked at Jeff and I was like, man, did God move or what? Well, in 2016, God gave Bill a word that God would show his manifest help. And he did. And, you know, it was such a struggle with my daughter, and I can't express the depth of pain that goes through a parent's heart, because it's incredible. I've never felt so hurt, lost, confused, but I believed that God's manifest help would be seen. And it was. I mean, I ran back to Bill and I told Bill that story. I said, Bill, you won't believe what happened. I saw Darcy's card flipped over, and it was just God. And I'm here to tell you that if you've got children that are lost, God sees them, and God knows your pain. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray, but also find someone that's lost and bring them to Harvest. We've got friends that are lost, co-workers that are lost, neighbors that are lost. and maybe even strangers. You know, this morning I was praying about what am I going to say? But I want to say this, that, you know, I asked the Lord that the burden that I had for my daughter would continue, but it would continue for the lost. And I pray that if you're a Christian, I pray that God would give you that intense burden to seek those who are lost and bring them to church. You know, what if we brought them to church and they got saved? And then they did, and you did, brought someone to harvest. Wouldn't that magnify and manifest a larger harvest? So yes, we're working towards a harvest in June 10, and we're going to need the church involved. And I pray all of you get involved and pray about who you're going to bring. But I would say before then, bring someone here. Reach out to the lost. And let a life be saved. God is faithful. And God is true. I'm going to tell you, in 2016, in my prayer for my daughter, when you first learn your daughter is raped, but my prayer went from healing and restoration and changing. I'm going to tell you, in 2016, right before harvest, I went in my bedroom and I locked my door. And I was on my face before God. And I was weeping like I've never cried before. But my prayer wasn't for her anymore. My prayer, and I begged the Lord, don't hand her over to a depraved mind. I was desperate. I didn't know what else to do or how to pray. And God heard me, and he answered my prayer. And God will answer your prayer too. Listen, I just think about this. If my hurt and my pain for my daughter is so great, what's the heart of God feel like when he sees his children that are lost, that he wants to save? Please, I pray that we all get that burden for the lost. Remember, it's God who saves. We just got to do the work. Thank you.
God is good. Amen. I think they're going to be showing a slide behind me. And yes, and you can see there's areas there that you can't sign up yet to serve. But I want you, and we're getting it ahead of time so you can be praying. But as you can see, there's 4,000 men and women that are needed to assist in making professions of faith. That's right there on the ground floor. And then ushers and choir and the prayer room, very, very special place. Right behind, if they do it the same this year, it's right behind where Greg is preaching, okay, the prayer room. And then policemen and so forth. So it says registration will soon be available at harvestamerica.com. So you can now start praying. It would, for 100% participation. Wouldn't that be incredible? Oh, I tell you, guys, do that. You know, the Bible, and I know we need to go, but, you know, let me give you a scripture here just as we're going to be departing in a moment. It says in Proverbs 24:11, it says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Well, that's what's the loss. They're stumbling right into hell. Amen? They're stumbling right into death. Who's going to hold them back if it's not us, if it's not the church? See, we know what's going on. They don't know why they're stumbling. They don't know why they're all messed up. It says, if you say, God says in his word, if you say, surely, oh, we didn't know anything about this. We're ignorant. We're not informed, you know, but we do know about the lost. Amen? We're fishers of men. God says there's not any excuse for not reaching out. Every step that a lost person takes is closer to hell in their lives. He says, oh, does it not weigh the hearts, the inner motives? He says, consider it. He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? In other words, God knows when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, speaking primarily of those that are lost. And he will not render to each one according to his own deeds. Now listen, decisions are costly, aren't they? Every decision is going to take you someplace. Had Darcy not been there, Paul, you know as well as that wouldn't have happened, but it did happen. You got her there. When you get people, when you take people there, something is going to happen. Amen? Something is going to be happening, loved one. Listen, think about the decision that we need to be making for the June 10th and for this church as well. I'm telling you something. It may cost a soul not entering into heaven because of our own disobedience. Go for it. Go for it. Don't be afraid of the lost. Don't be afraid of sharing Christ with other people. That's our job. It's harvest time. It's time not only to be a help in filling AT&T Stadium, June 10th, but it's also time to fill this church to overflowing while you bring the lost people and the hurting and the wounded here. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. Now listen, we're going to close with a song this morning. And I'm going to depart over to the Welcome Center, to the main lobby, and I'm going to be at the Visitor Center. I'd love to meet you if you're visiting with us for the first time. And there's a free gift waiting for you. But listen carefully now. When the song is over, there's going to be ushers at that door and ushers right here. And they're going to have a prayer card that I want you to take home. Please pick this up and start praying. You know, and start praying about not only who you're going to be bringing here, but who you're going to be bringing to AT&T. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you. And so pray. Don't lose this card. Pray over it each and every day in Jesus' name. Paul, thank you, brother. Love you in Jesus' name. God bless each and every one. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. Let the windows of heaven, Lord, as they are already opened in this place, Father, as Isaiah the prophet said, he said, oh Lord, here am I. Send me. I pray, oh Lord, that every heart says, Lord, here I am. I don't have everything going for me, but Lord, I have you. And that's all I need. Send me, Lord. Put words in my mouth. Give me a heart, oh God, for the lost. Let that happen in this place called Calvary Chapel. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand.